Good morning. This is Pastor Hank. I want to welcome you to Central Christian Center. This is the day that the Lord has made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it. Honored first-time attenders and cherished members, we are so glad that you're here. Whatever you need, I believe God's already provided it for you, and it's our desire today to help you receive from Him. Let's just enjoy the presence of God and receive what God has for us today. So happy to have the mothers here. Let me just start here. We've had so much things going on here. Hi. We just got so much happening. Let's just start. I want to read you something out of 2 Chronicles. This is one of my most favorite stories in the whole Bible. And probably one of the first stories that somebody told me. Talking about Solomon, it says, on that night God appeared to Solomon and said to him, ask, what shall I give you? How'd you like God to just show up to you and just say, ask me anything you want, anything you want? And it says, and Solomon said to God, you have shown great mercy to David my father, and have made me king in his place. Now, O Lord God, let your promise to David, my father, be established, for you have made me king over a people like the dust of the earth, like the dust of the earth in multitude. Now, Father, now, God, give me wisdom and knowledge, that I may go out and come in before the people who can judge this great people of yours. And then God said to Solomon, because this was in your heart, and you have not asked for riches and wealth and honor, or for life, or the life of your enemies, nor have you asked for long life, but you've asked for wisdom and knowledge for yourself, that you may judge my people over whom I have made you king. Because of that, Solomon, wisdom and knowledge are granted to you, and I will also give you riches and wealth and honor, such as none of the kings have ever had who were before you, nor any after you have the like. And I love verse 15. It says, and also the king made silver and gold as common in Jerusalem as stones, and he made the cedars as abundant as the sycamores were in the lowlands. How'd you just like to be walking out in your yard kicking rocks and they were just hunks of gold? He said, there's so much gold. There was so much gold and silver that it was just like pebbles on the ground. There was so much of it that people were just used to seeing it. And I love in chapter 9, it says, so King Solomon surpassed all the kings of the earth in riches and wisdom, and all the kings sought to be in his presence. Holy Spirit, use me today. As we celebrate mothers today, I just am so happy all of you mothers are here, and we love you. How many know you wouldn't be here if it wasn't for your mother? And some of us, our mothers have already gone to heaven, and some of us, our mothers are here, but we just salute and celebrate mothers today. And you know what? There's nobody will love you like your mama. Huh? Nobody will love you as much as your mama. And nobody will want the best for you more than your mother. Unless it's the Father that put that love in her heart. And so today I want us to think as we feel our love for our mothers, I want us to also realize the God that loves us. And I want everybody in here to realize that God loves you so much, he wants to bless you. He desires to bless you. He has purpose for your life. And before you were ever born, he had a plan mapped out for your life. He had a way that he could, all your life, all your days, could funnel his goodness into your life. And I'm telling that's to start with because I believe that, I'm going to say this, I believe that most of us live far below what our Heavenly Father has for us and desires for us. But I don't know, I've been watching around here, some of you breaking out. I mean, hey, the old enemy might have kept us down, and he might have kicked us a few times, and he might have knocked us down, but we're not staying down. I'm watching some of you, you're getting up. Hey, God's got good things for you. He wants to bless you. He's got favor in store for you. He's got blessings that you haven't even thought about yet. And that's what I liked about this story. I guess I liked this story even when I was a little kid, because I don't know about you, but when we grew up, we didn't have a lot. Okay, we didn't have a lot. So this story meant a lot to me because I liked the stories about the genie coming out of the lamp, and you rubbed the lamp and you got three wishes, and you know, I just loved those kind of stories. Anybody with me? I mean, I just would dream about having something. I would just dream about that. And then when I got to know my Savior, I found out that this story wasn't like those stories, because this story was true. This story was true. Now, I want to talk to you today. There's just a few points that I saw here that I just want to talk about a little bit. One is that all the wealth in the world. Now I know some Christians, we don't like to talk about money and wealth because we think that's bad. How many ever had somebody come up and give you a handful of money? Come on, tell me the truth. Or walk up and anybody ever had anybody give you a car or give you a, you know, just give you some money how many's had somebody just walk up and just give you something and bless you? Come on, is that all four of you? Come on. And I want to ask you something. When they did that, didn't that make you feel terrible? Huh? I mean, if somebody walked up to you right now and said, "Here, I've got this $1,000 and God's just told me to give it to you," wouldn't that just make you feel terrible? No. It'd make you feel glad. It'd make you feel happy. And you know, it'd make you feel like your daddy wants you to feel. All the wealth in the earth belongs to him. 1 Chronicles 29, 12 through 16, says, "Wealth and honor comes from you. You are the ruler of all things. In your hands are strength and power to exalt and to give strength to all." It's all yours, God. It's all in your hands. Psalms 24:1 says, "The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, and the world and they that dwell therein." Belongs to God. 11 Psalms 50, it says, "The cattle on a thousand," God says, "The cattle on a thousand hills are mine." And I love what he said in Hagar 2:8. He said, "The silver is mine and the gold is mine, declares the Lord." I just want us to first think here, all this wealth in the earth belongs to God. Now, I want you to think about something with me. Can y'all hear me in the back? Charlie, can you hear me back there? My old good buddy Charlie. Hallelujah, we went to school together. Anyway, I want you to think about something with me. How many ever dreamed about, let's just get silly for a few minutes. I mean, you ever dreamed about having real nice things?
I mean, how many remember that show that used to be on the Life of the Rich and Famous? Anybody remember that show? And I used to just, you know, and I still like to, I just like to look at those things. Now, I know if you're real religious, you don't like to look at that stuff. You don't like to think about that stuff. But we're not going to be real religious here for a while. How about that? But I love to, you know, and I love to, when these people on TV win these vacations and stuff, and they're going to these Caribbean islands, and they're showing all this stuff. You know, it always looks better in a picture than it really does in person, too, by the way. But you know, and how many just ever dreamed about having a real fancy house, or you just looked at something on TV or a picture or something, you went, wow, wouldn't that be something? Anybody besides me? Okay, well, don't look at me religious. We're not going to be religious today, okay? We're going to be just let it loose a little bit, okay? But I want you to imagine just for a minute, how many ever just wanted more in your life so that you could give more to your kids? Huh? Okay, but now I want you just to imagine that you have it. I want you to imagine that you're walking into this huge palace, this Disneyland house, that marble floors and fancy stuff, and whatever is fancy and nice to you is in this house. And I want you to imagine that with me. And imagine that you have more money in the bank than you can possibly spend this week. And you just, you know, you don't have to have a calculator this week when you go to the grocery store. Huh? You don't have to keep track in your head. Can you imagine that? Or are you imagining with me? Imagine that you have great amounts of wealth. You just are, man, you're just blessed everywhere you turn. And you got this big fancy house. But now I want you to imagine in the backyard, you got a little bitty storage shed. And the paint's peeling off of it. And the hinges, when you open the door, you kind of got to go because the door drags because the hinges are loose. And you've got this big fancy house, and in the back you got this little old ugly storage shed, and that's where you make your kids stay. You live in the house, but you want your kids to stay in that old storage shed because you want them to grow up humble, and you want them to grow up learning something. You want them to... Isn't that ridiculous? How many know, parents, we'd be the ones living in the shed and we'd give them the house, wouldn't we? Huh? Come on, get with me. Don't make me work hard. It's almost time to quit. Isn't that ridiculous? No. My son's 38 years old, and I still want to give him good things. I still want him to have nice things. How come that's the way we are, but we don't realize that's the way our daddy is, our heavenly father is? What good does it do for him to have all the wealth in the earth if he can't give none of it to us? Huh? Now we're working on religious mentality today, okay? So just set all your Bible school and all your other stuff, just set it kind of here. Don't throw it away. Just kind of set it here and say, we're going to adjust a little bit today. Because Jesus said, as your faith is, so be it. All the wealth belongs to God. Now, what kind of a daddy wouldn't want his kids to have that? That was the next thing I thought about, is he wants to give it to you. He wants to give it to me. Now listen, I'm not talking about today. I'm not giving you a magic formula how to be a millionaire. Because most people listening to me, you'll never be a millionaire. And I'm not trying to give you a formula here to live in somebody else's prosperity, somebody else's gifts, somebody else's purpose. But I'm trying to tell you today how you can live in your purpose, live your calling, how you can walk in the blessings of God in your life, right where you are, and have more than enough and be blessed in everything you do. How many know a lot of folks have a lot of money and they're miserable? So you understand what I'm saying? I'm saying God wants you to walk blessed. And He wants to give you blessings. He wants to give you good things. Psalms 84:11 says, "The Lord is a sun and shield. The Lord bestows favor and honor, and no good thing does He withhold from those who walk blameless," or those that walk upright, or from those that do what is right. And when you read verses like that, and it says He has this big promise, and this big promise is for the upright. Don't you let the devil take those one little words, the blameless. Don't you let the devil take one little word out of one of God's promises and beat you down and go, "Yeah, well, see, but that doesn't apply to you because you're not blameless. You're not righteous. You're not good. That belongs to the pastor. That belongs to some of the good people. But that doesn't belong to me. That's a lie from hell. Every promise in the book is yours. And you're not blameless because of anything you did. You're blameless because the blameless one died for you in your place." Woo! His name is Jesus. Jesus, you're wonderful. You're wonderful. Says, no good thing will He withhold from you. Let me just tell you, God's favor's on you. Huh? Everybody just say something out loud with me. Say, God's favor. Come on, everybody. Don't make me work so hard. Everybody say, God's favor is on me. Now say it again. God's favor is on me. You need to be saying that. You need to be hearing yourself say that. I said this last week, but research has proven that we believe more of what we say about ourselves than what anybody else says. And you start hearing yourself say what God says about you, and pretty soon something on the inside of you will change. Your mind will be renewed. He's made His favors on you, and He's made every good thing for you. Well, okay, not for you then. He's made every good thing for me. Huh? I mean, if you want it, you got to take it for yourself. Huh? Did you ever, how many can even remember back when you went to school? Did you ever have a teacher that had a favorite? Huh? I mean, you know, if there was anybody going to get any special treatment in the class, you knew who it was going to be. Huh? I mean, you know, they couldn't do any wrong, and if anybody was going to get a pat on the back, you knew who it would be. I mean, you know, if there's any good breaks, anything good was going to happen, you just knew which student that was going to happen to. And the most terrible thing about it is that you weren't that student. Well, let me tell you something. Tell you some good news. As far as God's concerned, you're that person. As far as God's concerned, you're His favorite. I said, you're His favorite. I love it when I call Jim and Pam Ames. Now, they used to be in here with us. Now they're living down in Florida, but, you know, got the sunshine and all the time. But anyway, every time I call them, Pam will be in the background and she'll go, "I'm His favorite. I'm God's favorite. I'm God's favorite." Every time you see her, she says, "I'm God's favorite." So I just tell her, "No, you're not. I'm God's favorite." Huh? That's the good news. You're His favorite. If anybody's going to get any special treatment, it's going to be you. If anybody's going to get any good breaks, it's going to be you. Huh? If the right doors are going to open up for anybody, get ready to walk through them, because they're going to open up for you. Oh, man. If anyone's going to have the advantage, it's going to be you. You say, "Well, that's silly, Hank. That doesn't happen for me." Yeah, but listen, what would happen if you'd start believing that and you'd start saying that and you'd start thinking that way? You know what would happen after a while? You wouldn't be paying any attention to all the things the devil's trying to do to you. You'd just be looking for God's favor. You'd just be looking for all the things that God was doing in your life. You'd just be seeing blessings everywhere you turn. You wouldn't have time to see curse. And let me just say this about the curse. The curse is only a curse if you pay attention to it. Well, I'm just telling you, man, if anybody's going to end up on top, it's you. Because God's favor's on you. He wants you to have every good thing. And I love Ephesians 2:10. It says that you and I said that we were recreated in Christ Jesus to walk in all the good works that God has prepared for us beforehand. He says, I've created you to walk in my goodness. Now, I know not very many preach. I hadn't heard anybody preach that verse that way. But you read that whole section there, that whole chapter, and don't take that verse out of context and see what it says. It's talking there about it's not works, it's by grace. He's talking there, it's not what you do, it's what I've done. You're not saved because you did something, you're saved because I did something. And then we get to that verse and we want to turn it around and make it our works. And then feel bad because our works aren't good enough. I'm sorry, you're never going to be good enough without Jesus. Huh? But you're not without Him. Huh? Created you to walk in all the... I won't pay much attention to it, but read Isaiah 54 this week, would you? Isaiah 54 is a perpetual covenant of peace. God's promising something here. And he talks about things, and I'm not going to do this, but he tells us, enlarge the place of your tent, stretch it out. In other words, stretch out those curtains. In other words, expand your vision. Think big. Look at possibilities. Look for great things to happen. He's talking about all those things in your life. Use your faith that direction. He's talking about all the stuff he's going to do. And I love it. That's the chapter in it that he says, I'll never be angry with you again. I'll never rebuke you again. Said the mountains will fall and the hills will be removed, but my kindness will never depart from you. Said my covenant of peace will be with you always, forever. He goes on here, and you ought to just read how many times in there he says, I will, I will, I will, I will, I will. You see, under the old covenant is, you do, you do, you do. But under the new covenant is, he says, I will, I will, I will. And you ought to just, there's so many things I won't do, but that's the chapter that he says, no weapon formed against you will prosper. He said, I made the devil. I made him. I know all his tricks. I know everything about him. And no weapon formed against you will prosper. Man. A perpetual covenant of peace. It's a covenant that just will continue to happen without ever stopping. And so the devil knows that. So what he tries to do is, he tries to say, you know that yeah, well, we know God's got all the wealth, and yeah, we know God's going to do all that, and we know, and we put it off in the future somewhere. But listen, what he's prophesying through a lot of Isaiah here in Isaiah 54, he's saying, when I send my son and he completes the work that I sent him to do, then this is going to happen in your life. Can I tell you something? He already sent his son. And when Jesus said, it's finished, bless God, it was finished. Well, how come it didn't happen for me? Because you got to believe it. You got to think that way. You got to think about his goodness. You got to think about his love. You got to believe. You got to believe that he really does love you. We know how to say it, but most of us deep down in our heart, we don't really believe it. Because we know ourselves better than anybody else. Huh? Somebody comes up to you and says, oh,
you're so nice, you're so sweet, you know, you're so, and inside you go, yeah, if you only knew. Huh? I mean, I go home sometimes, I'll be out or be here or be somewhere else, I go home and I go, man, God, I wish I was everything they think I am. One day God just whispered in my spirit, He said, you are. You are. You are. I'm saying you are. Not because you did, oh, but because He did. Well, and then while you're reading 54, why don't you go on to 55? Because 55 is just an invitation. Isaiah 55 is an invitation for us to enter into the abundant life God has for us. I don't want you to get to heaven. I don't want to get to heaven and find a great big old giant warehouse over here. This giant warehouse full of all the good things you can imagine, and full of all the good things that I desired, and good for just full of everything my mind can imagine. And I go, God, what's that? And He says, that's what I had for you that I wanted to send to you, but you never asked me for it. You never believed me for it. And when you get up there, you don't need all that stuff because you got everything. Huh? I don't know about you, but where I need some stuff's right here. Huh? Okay, you're looking religious on me again. I love what Paul, in 1 Corinthians 2:9, Paul quotes Isaiah 64:4. And he says this, he says, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor has entered into the heart of man the things that God has prepared for those who love Him. Woo! I like that. And listen, we always stop there when we read that. We go, oh, I know He has it. I know He has good things. You know, but you know, hey, you just don't know what God's going to do. I mean, hey, you know, God's mysterious. You just don't know what God's going to do. But hold on. He says, but I love verse 10, though. This isn't something off in the future. This isn't something that we can't see. This isn't something that we don't know about. Verse 10 says, but God, we can't see Him. We can't even imagine Him. We don't know it. We haven't even seen it. We hadn't even entered our heart the things that God has for us. But God has revealed them to us through His Spirit. Ooh, I'm going to have a shout here. Huh? I'm just liable to take off running. Would I scare some of you first-time attenders if I just took off running? Okay, I won't then, but boy, I want to. He reveals those things to us through His Spirit. I love John 16. Now John 16, 13 makes a little more sense to me now. When Jesus was getting ready to go, and He said, when the Spirit of truth comes, He'll guide you into all the truth. He'll not speak on His own authority, or He'll not talk about Himself. He'll not talk what He thinks and says. But whatever He hears, He will speak, and He will declare to you the things to come. I was thinking I read where the Holy Spirit already came. Did He already come? Going to lead you into all truth. And I love verse 14. Verse 14 says, and He'll glorify me. He'll glorify. Now this is how He glorifies Jesus. This is how He glorifies God. It says, He'll take everything that's mine and declare it to you or give it to you. He's going to bring glory to me because He's going to take everything that's mine and He's going to give it to you. He's going to declare, He's going to glorify me and Father because everything Father has been given to me, and now everything I have, I give it to you. So take it so I can be glorified. Ephesians 3:20. And I'll use 21 at first. It says, because now to him be the glory in 21. But so, Jesus, to you be all the glory. Father, to you be all the glory. To him who is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we can ask or think, according to the power that works in us. The power that works in us. Interesting phrase. Because I never put it together with Romans 5:5, though, until the other day. See, Romans 5:5 says, now, hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit, whom was given to us. Oh, you got to catch this. You gotta see the correlation. The love of God has been poured into our hearts by the Holy Spirit Himself. And now that power that works in us is able to allow Him, to enable Him to give us, what did He say? To do exceeding abundantly above all that we can ask or think. Y'all didn't get as excited about that as I did. You understand what he's saying? Man, when you start figuring out how much I love you, you won't feel bad. You won't back up to my blessings. When you start realizing how much I love you, when that love just floods you, you won't, not only will you not back up to it, you'll begin expecting me to do good things in your life. You'll begin to expect me to do big things in your life. You'll know that there's nothing too big for me, and there's no love greater than I have for you. There's no love that can be bigger. And with that love, I want to give you everything, Hank. I want to give you everything your heart desires. Oh, this is hard now. This is hard on religious minds. And sometimes we have to think a little extreme, you know, because we're stuck in the mud here. And sometimes we have to think a little bit extreme to get us pulled out of the mud so we can start walking that way. You want to just think you're never supposed to have nothing, and it's not your lot in life, and you know all the rest of that stuff. Hey, then that's what you'll have. You'll still go to heaven. God'll still love you just as much. You know, you'll still be just as happy when you get there. But man, He wants us to be a little bit happy while we're here. It all belongs to God. And He wants to give it to you. Settle it. It's not anything wrong with Him blessing you. There wasn't anything wrong when you bought your child that first car when they turned 16. There wasn't anything wrong with you giving them everything you were capable of giving them. There was nothing wrong with that. And there's nothing wrong with our daddy giving us everything He wants to. He said, I created you, Hank. I created you to walk in all the good works. I created you to walk in all my goodness. The good things that I've been planning for you before you ever got here. Well, that's in your book. He loves you so much He doesn't want to hold back any good thing from you. Romans 8:32 says this. Says, since He, Daddy, God, Father, since He didn't spare His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all, He said, since He did that, won't He also freely give us all things? I just don't know, God. I just don't know. Hold. I don't know if I should have asked for that car. I don't know. Hold it. If He gave the closest thing to His heart for you, if He gave Jesus for you, wouldn't He give you a car? I mean, if He was going to hold back anything, wouldn't He hold back Jesus? I mean, if he didn't hold back Jesus from you, wouldn't he like you to live in a nice house? Wouldn't He like you to not be worried about money all the time? Wouldn't He like you to walk feeling blessed all the time? We got awful quiet on me.
Let me make this point real quick. God didn't do all that for Solomon because he didn't ask for riches and wealth. I always thought, well, okay, I'm gonna do like Solomon, and I'm gonna kind of trick God. That's what we think spiritually, you know. I'm gonna trick God. Oh God, I'm not asking you for enough money to live on this month. Oh God, I'm not asking you for a car that I don't have to keep in the shop every other day. Oh God, I'm not asking you for any of that. I just want to be close to you, God. I just want your wisdom and not. You know, see, we think we're going to trick God, and then all of a sudden he's going to go, okay, Hank, you worked the formula here. You never think that way, do you? Little angels. He didn't bless Solomon with all that stuff because he didn't ask for it. He blessed him with all that stuff because of what was in his heart. Well, I just don't want to ask for too much. Well, ask for too much. If you don't get it all, you'll have more. You'll end up with more than if you didn't ask for hardly nothing. Are you with me? But don't get... See, we're not... This thing with God isn't a get-rich-quick scheme. Huh? It's not... You know, and all the stuff we've talked about so far, it really isn't that important. It makes life a little more fun. But I don't want to ask him for too much. I mean, if I get too much, I might backslide. You know what? I can take you some places here in town that people are backslid, and it's not because they got too much. Huh? Folks, we need to quit thinking all that religious thinking and start realizing. James said you have not because you ask not. Huh? Jesus said in John 15, he said, abide in me and let my words abide in you, and you can ask anything you want. Anything you want. That's how the Father gets glorified. That's what he says there. Oh, I glorify you, God. You want to glorify God? Let him do something big in your life. Give him the glory. Are you hearing? Let him do something in your life that glorifies him. Let that sink in. John 16 says, whatever you ask the Father in my name, he'll give it to you. How's God be glorified? God's glorified when you're in a position in life and you don't have any way out of that position, or you're in a jam, or you're in the middle of a trial, or you're in the middle of a crisis, and God's able to come into your life and do something supernatural, something spectacular. That glorifies God. Are you with me? I'm trying to get some of this stuff out of here and into here. Because I've seen a picture of the things God's starting to do for some of you. And I want it to happen to all of you. You got to be expecting it. You got to be looking for it. You got to be desiring it. You got to be wanting it. Listen, God wants you to ask. He wants to give to us. He wants to bless us. But here's what he doesn't want. He doesn't want me to pay more attention to what I got than I do to the one that gave it to me. Does that make sense? See, I'm trying to reel a few of you back in that's already fell out with me here. See, because when I didn't have nothing, anytime anybody started preaching this kind of stuff to me, I got mad at them. Because I didn't have nothing, and I wanted to justify me not having nothing, because I love God. You can have both. And again, I'm not trying to tell you you ought to just be so rich and so that we just squander stuff everywhere. That's not what I'm talking about. But wouldn't it be good for you this month, some of you this month, to pay all your bills and have a little bit left over? Now, wouldn't it be good to have more than enough? Wouldn't it be good that when somebody says we're going to send kids to camp, we're going to send kids to VBS, we're going to do this or we're going to do that, wouldn't it be good to not owe anybody anything and you could just go and give everything that God told you to His work? Wouldn't that be good? Solomon wasn't saying, God, give me wisdom and knowledge, but keep me poor and humble. I'm sorry, Solomon had never known what it was to be poor. Huh? I mean, he was looking at this from a whole different... He had plenty. Have you ever seen a king's son poor? I mean, besides us, we're the king's sons and daughters, you know. That's what I'm trying to work out of us. You ever seen a king? No, Solomon had plenty. He didn't know poor. I've never seen a king's son, royalty. I was watching the little royal baby. I forgot his name now. Prince and, I had the names a while ago, but I saw they showed a picture of him here the other day when I think Obama was there or something, and he had a little suit on. Man, he was so cute. Huh? I mean, anybody know what I'm talking about in England? And I looked, I thought, you poor little thing. You're just going to have to suffer all your life. You'll never have a break. No. He's not saying, Lord, I don't want all that stuff. He's saying, the most important thing to me, God, is your purpose for my life. The most important thing to me, Father, is your calling on my life. The most important thing to me, Father, is your will, what you have for me to do. That's the most important thing in my life. He's saying, Father, my dad, King David, he said, he told me all my life about my destiny. He told me all my life that I was going to be king. He told me all my life the great things that you would do through me. He told me all the great things. He embedded this from the time I was a little kid. He's saying, Father, He told me I was going to build a temple. I was going to build a house for you. I was going to build a house greater than any house anybody had ever seen for you. It was going to be so spectacular, nothing that had ever been in existence would compare to it. And he said, Father, He's been telling me that. My calling, my destiny to be king over your people, He's been telling me that all my life. And He's saying, Father, I can't do it by myself. I need your help. I don't know how to do this, God. Help me. Do you understand? He's saying, show me, Father, how to be all that I'm supposed to be for you. Show me, God. Help me. I can't do this without you. And can you see Daddy? Can you see Father? He's up there looking to and fro across the earth to find anybody's heart who's perfect towards Him so He can prove Himself strong in their behalf. All these verses are so good when you put them together, right? And he looks down there at Solomon and he says, Oh, Solomon. Oh, I see what's in your heart. I've been waiting for you to get that in your heart. I've been waiting to see that so I could come into your life and do everything through your life that I ever wanted to do. And it's going to be more than you ever imagined. Going to be more than you ever saw. Bigger than any dream you ever dreamed. Oh, get God's heart here. Now, because your heart is in this place towards me, Solomon, I can come into your life and I can do everything in your life that I've wanted to do. You ought to read the story. I got to wrap this up, but you ought to read the story. I mean, Solomon, man, God started telling him how to build the house, his house, and he started building that. And I'm telling you what, man, all the best materials from all over the world, people all over the world was giving him gold and silver. People all over the world was coming to get his wisdom and knowledge even before that. But he was having the best materials for God's house. The craftsmen from every nation were coming and doing the stonework guys and the tree, the lumber guys and the carvers and the men from everywhere in the world. God was sending them to build this house, and man, Solomon did it. He didn't hold back anything. He didn't hold back any good thing. He said, God, it was all about God's house. And it took 7 years with thousands and thousands. You ought to read in there how many thousands. Thousands and thousands of people working on this, on God's house. And it took 7 years. Took 7 years. And that was his heart. And then I was reading, and I mentioned this last week, I think, but I was reading, and I saw something in here that... Does anybody here besides me, does anybody here ever read your book and God talks to you while you're reading your book? Huh? I mean, does he ever say something to you that you go, whew, I don't know if that was really, even really you, God. But I just saw something. Solomon put everything he had into God's house. And then he got done and God said, Solomon, you've built my house. You haven't spared anything. Now a lot of this is what I'm thinking, okay? He says, you didn't spare anything. He said, now Solomon, let's build your house. And we're not going to spare anything. See, you can't outgive God. And Solomon gave everything he had, every bit of effort, every bit of love, every fiber, get this message with me here, everything into God's house. And God said, Solomon, you can't outgive me. You gave everything you had to me to build my house, for me to build my house. Now, I'm going to give everything I have for you to build yours. There was a reason it took 13 years to build Solomon's house. Because you can't outgive God. Huh? I can see Solomon, man, and they're going, and I don't know how they built houses back then, Kenny. I don't have a clue, man. But I'm telling you what, they still haven't built anything compared to God's house and Solomon's house. And I can just see God said, oh, no, that piece of lumber, that's not good enough. No, get a timber from way over on top of that mountain. I'll send some guys with some of those cedar trees to do this. We're not going to put those old sycamore lumber in there. No, we're gonna get those cedars off that mountain over there. And I can just see God as he's going through. And Solomon said, well, you know, God, well, this is okay. He said, oh, no, you didn't spare anything for me. I'm not sparing anything for you. You ought to read the story. The Bible says his house was so great that when the Queen of Sheba came and she got to look at the food on his table and the servants and looking around at how God had blessed him, and she started giving him everything she had. Well, a different way of looking at things, isn't it? This is the point I want you to get, though. This is the point I want you to get. It wasn't for any other reason except the fact that God was first place. See, now I understand what Jesus was saying in John 6, or in Matthew 6, verse 33, when he said, Hank, now if you want this stuff to some of this to apply for you, you're gonna have to put your own name in it, okay? But he said, Hank, he said, if you will seek first my kingdom and my righteousness, I will add everything else to you. What's everything else?
everything that my eye hadn't seen and my mind hadn't been able to imagine. The ideas haven't even come in my heart. Things bigger than anything I can dream, anything I can think, do you understand? You say, well, Hank, now that's silly. Why do you do it? Well, because if you think that way, won't you end up further down the line than if you just think the other way? Your life will move in the direction of your most dominant thoughts. You know what I'm starting to do? I'm starting to believe for the goodness of God. You know what's gonna make your friends and your family want to come to the Lord? All those unsaved people you work with, all those unsaved people around you, all those unsaved, you know what's going to make them want Jesus? When they see the glory of God manifesting through your life. Huh? When they see the power of God manifesting through your life. So what are you saying, Hank? I'm just saying, let's sing a song here and I'll quit, but I'm just saying, God wants the best for you. He doesn't want my best to be your best. He wants your best to be your best. See, I don't have to have $1 million to be a millionaire. Are you hearing me? Huh? See, I don't have to have anything. If I've got Jesus, He's more than enough. But it's not one or the other. He's just saying, come on, Hank, let me bless you. I want you to see His desire first. His desire first is to bless you. Jesus said, I came so you'd have life and you'd have it more abundantly. But the whole thing boils down to he wants you to have that so He can fulfill His purpose in your life. It's not that we go after the stuff, it's that we go after Him. And He has a purpose for your life. He has a calling for your life. I didn't get that far. Maybe we'll do some more on this next week. He has a calling for your life. Something that you are destined. He wants to do something through you that advances His kingdom. And He says, I've given you all the gifts and all the stuff. I'll make all the stuff start falling in place in your life. Hey, I'll make sure you have everything. And you'll not only have enough for my house, you'll have enough for your house. Well, I kind of feel a little bit undone here, but I got to quit. I mean, You ever walk out of your house and you feel undone? You look down and see if you got your britches on, you know? I mean, you feel undone, you know? I didn't get as far with this as I wanted to go, but I'm saying God has a purpose and a calling for your life, and you'll never be fulfilled. That void will always be there if you're not fulfilling that destiny. You can have all the money in the world. There's a reason, we've heard a lot about this lately, but there's a reason Prince OD'd. It wasn't because he didn't have plenty of wealth. It wasn't because he didn't have plenty of creativity and all the rest of that. It's because he wasn't filling his purpose that God put him here for. And you're void, you're empty without that. Now are you getting it? See, I'm not talking about all the wealth. I want you to expect it, though. But I'm talking about your purpose, your calling. And when you go after that, God says, hey, you just put your eyes on me, Hank, and I'll cause all this other stuff to happen. You know, I very seldom have to ask God to pay a bill or to do anything. I just focus on Him, and I look around and all that stuff just starts piling up. I'm saying we get over the hump. You can look at everything from the perspective we've looked at it all our life. I told you I was poor. We were always poor. And really everything I face now pretty much, until I get my mind renewed, I look at it from the poor side of things. You got to understand, King Solomon wasn't looking from the poor side of things. He'd never been poor. He never went to bed hungry. Well, praise the Lord. Everybody stand. If you're visiting today, don't fall out with me over one message here. Come and listen, because God's taken us somewhere. He wants to take you somewhere. He wants to do something in your life that you've dreamed about, and maybe you've lost your dream, maybe you've dropped it. We might talk about dropping your dream, forgetting about your dream next week, but He wants to do for you. He loves you. And that love He has for you, well, He loves you so much that He gave Jesus for you. And you know, really, I want us to expect things. I just can't hardly wait to some of you that just every month it's an effort to pay your bills. I'm just whistling because I already saw something, man. I'm going to be shouting louder than you when you start having more than enough. When you start seeing God doing things in your life every day, every day, every day, every day. When His goodness just overtakes you. Oh, I can't hardly wait to see that. I'm starting to see it in some of you already. But you can have everything. And if you don't have Jesus, you haven't got anything. So I want to ask you today. Matter of fact, we're just going to sing a song. And I won't take a long time doing this because you got to get out and do all this Mother's Day stuff today. And If you don't know you're right with the Lord, I want you to come down and let somebody pray with you. If you're here today and you just don't know you're right with the Lord, I want you to come. Go ahead and start singing. I don't know, maybe you think you're saved or you've been saved or you haven't been saved. I don't know, but if in your heart right now there's something standing between you and the Lord, you don't feel like you're right with the Lord, come down and let one of us pray with you. And if you'll hurry and do that, just come to Him. Somebody here, if you've been fighting some physical things, I'm going to just invite you to come down and let us anoint you with oil. Bible says the prayer of faith will save the sick. We're going to believe God to touch you. We'll anoint you with oil. If you're here today and you've been saved and you've just never been baptized, won't you come and let us baptize you today? But we're going to sing this verse here, and if you need to come for anything, come and let us pray for you. With you. Come on, who else? Hurry. Hurry. Somebody here and in your heart, you just are desiring to do more for the kingdom than you've ever done before. Won't you just give that desire to Him today? You give that desire to Him today, and something's gonna start happening in your life beyond anything you ever dreamed or imagined. Somebody here says, well, that sounded good, Hank, but you know, I've just been facing a lot of troubles, a lot of trials this week, and I just really don't know which way's up, or I'm just in the middle of a battle. Whatever it is, if you just come down and let one of us pray with you and agree with you, I believe God's going to turn that thing for you right now, right today. So sing another verse. We're not having church tonight, so you got time to come and get whatever you need from God. You need to come, come. Okay, there's somebody here. We're going to go ahead and dismiss now, but there's somebody here, and you don't know in your heart you're right. If you'd come down after we dismiss, one of us will pray with you, because we want you to have the best Mother's Day you ever had before, and we want everything to be right between you and Jesus, okay? So if that's you and you need to come, matter of fact, if you need somebody to agree with you and pray with you about anything, you come. We're here. We'll pray with you. Hey, I love you. I thank you. I just want you to know God's favor's on you. Like Oral Roberts used to say, something good's going to happen to you. I want you to walk out of here today thinking, man, I am somebody because of Jesus. I have God's favor on me because of Jesus. I'm right because of Jesus. And I want you to expect God's goodness to happen to you all this week. So right now, I speak His blessing on you. I believe Him to touch you in a way that only He can touch you. I believe Him to work in every area of your life. I believe Him to bring that stability back to that family. I believe Him to bring that money. There's going to be more after you pay everything off. There's going to be some left over. Going to be more than enough. And I speak His blessings and His goodness into you. And if you receive that, say, praise the Lord. And if you don't receive it, say, give mine to Hank. Hey, I love y'all. Thank you for being here. See you next time. Have a great Mother's Day. If you're a first-time attender, I'd love to shake your hand, give you some information about the church.